during worship, the King of Glory appeared right here in all of his glory. And he had a golden scepter. And he extended it towards us. He suddenly gave me Esther 5:2. And it was so when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she had obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, "What will thou, Queen Esther? What is thy request?" The Lord is extending to us an invitation, a grace, his power, his favor, to first and foremost to draw near. To draw nearer than we've ever drawn before. To a place of intimacy with the King. To a place of encounter with the King. And it's in this place of encounter, and this is the priesthood. It's the place of ministering to the King of Glory. It's this place of intimacy and love. You know, we know the story of Esther, that her whole life was about finding out what the king liked, ministering to him. And it was because of that life of ministering to him that she was able, in that place of authority, she is now drawing near in the place of authority. And she has access because of her position with him as his queen, as this place because of the history of intimacy with him. So I feel like the Lord is saying to us that there's this invitation, but that you notice the order here, that she had to draw near before she could make a request. The place of decree, the place of releasing the authority, the kingdom of heaven on earth, that first we have to draw near. And it's out of that place of intimacy that then we have favor. You know, we can be decreeing all day long, but if we're not in a place of intimacy with the King, then we don't have the favor in the decree. And so I just want to encourage you, no matter where you are right now, your intimacy with the Lord, if you're at your highest place that you've ever been, if you're in a place of first love and lovesick, radical lover, burning brighter than you've ever burned, in Jesus' name you are, or if you're in a horrible desert right now, the desert's a good thing, by the way, once you understand them. It's not a bad thing. Encourage some of you in here. But regardless of where you are right now, there is a grace, there is an invitation to encounter the King, first and foremost, to draw near to him.
You'll see this in Scripture now. You'll see what God's saying here, and you'll see what God wants to do. So go over to John. There's so much going on there, because the first thing the Lord says is he's speaking about his union with the Father. He actually preaches this union. He goes, "Can you not believe that I am in my Father, my Father's in me?" That's what he actually came to them preaching that. He said, "Can you not believe I'm in my Father's in me, my Father's doing the works?" And if you can't believe about this union, believe the works, for they're testifying. And then he gets into this in the very beginning, because I'm going to prepare a place for you, but it's all about this union. And then he's going to get into two aspects of this union, three really. There's this incredible union, which is the union with him and the Father. And then out from that union are going to flow two major components. out from this oneness. And you have to have it. And you're going to see this as a confirmation to what real answered kingdom prayer is about. And without this union, you're not going to see it. And he just prophesied that, and I'm going to show it to you in the scripture. He said two things are going to come out. The works that I do, you're going to do also, and answered prayer. I'm going to teach you how to pray. I'm going to teach you how to receive answered prayer. And so he's going to speak about prayer in John 14. He'll speak about prayer in John 15. I'm going to get really centered in John 16 because he answers and gives a lot of mysteries here in John 16 about King. And I'm going to, Lord willing, tie that into kingdom transference out of the Lord's Prayer. All of that is happening right now. Amen. Where the real sparks are, is not only do we get to go up into the glory, it's getting that glory down here in an abiding place. And that is what we're working on. Praise God. That's what God's working on. He's going to mention this verse in John 14, John 14 verse 12. Verily, verily, he that believeth on me, and he actually just spoke about that. Can you not believe that I am in my Father in me? He that believes on me and believes in this union, he says, the works that I do shall he do also in greater than these, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So he reaffirms it. So he said, it's not just praying in his name. It's not, oh, in the name of Jesus I ask. It's actually you're praying in the domain of that name, and you're praying in what's in that name. That name, all the treasuries on heaven and on earth is in that name. When you identify what he has received, everything he's received from the Father as the appointed heir is in his name. Riches and glory is in his name. All power and authority is in his name. Seven inheritances is in a name. I can go on and on. Nations are in his name. Kingdoms are in his name. All of this is in his name. So whatever you're praying, whatever level you're praying from, whether it's getting your needs met or you're standing as an intercessor over the globe, it's all in his name. It's all been inherited. It's all in his domain. It's all been laid up. It's all been finished. It's completed. So when you're praying in his name, you're praying in a completed, finished position. Amen? Okay, so that's the first thing. The second thing he says is in John 15, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you can ask what you will. So he gives the next part of the equation here. It's not just asking. There's a position here. He's going to introduce the first part of the position. Then he's going to really get into it with them. So he introduces the position. Oh, by the way, before you ask, you're going to have to abide in me where I am. In the Father. And then my words are going to need to abide in you. And then you can ask what you will. So he gives the next part of the equation. But then he's going to go even further than that. And that's what I want to center on today. That third part of the equation in John 16. We're going to look at it in verse 16 first. He's going to say something through his disciples. He actually talks about the Holy Spirit, how he will teach you to come. He teaches you jurisdictional transference. He said he will show you. He didn't actually, the word things weren't in the Bible. He said he'll show you to come. Kamei, which is jurisdictional transference. He's going to show you how to move from one place to another. If you're going to function in the kingdom, you're going to have to be able to move from one place to another. You're going to have to be moving from this realm to that realm, from that realm to this realm. You're going to have to learn to move up and down in his name and eventually to and fro. That is the inheritance. So we've got to understand how to move in the kingdom of God, up and down, to and fro. Amen? Because if we don't understand jurisdictional transference, we're going to miss how this kingdom is going to function. We're going to have to go back to the Daniel days and wait for Michael to clear the second heavens out before anything happens. But now we are in a third heaven operation. We can go up there and get our 18-wheeler filled up. Our 18-wheeler is inside of us. You're either going to go up there in a compact car, you're going to go up in a box truck. First, when she starts saying box truck, I'm thinking box truck. That vision started going like that. I thought, that is a very long box truck. Then she started talking 18-wheeler, and I'm like, ooh, there it is. Praise God. Hallelujah. Tammy saw a vision of that going up into the glory with a few people up in it, and the whole thing came down. So that 2 weeks ago. He's going to give this equation. He says, first he's going to teach you jurisdictional transfer. He's going to teach you how to come. Holy Spirit's going to teach you how to get up in here where everything's at. Amen. God, he brings a lot of stuff down by the Holy Ghost, which is awesome, but he leaves a whole lot of stuff up there. And the reason he does, because he's waiting for us to grow up. Because as we grow up, we can obtain more, we can receive more, we can do more, because God can start trusting us with more. And then he opens the realm called more. And then he stretches forth the curtains of our habitation, puts an 18-wheeler inside of us to bring it on up. Now bring that on up. Now he's going to fill it. See, you're the catalyst. Heaven brings goods down into the earth for the distribution of the kingdom, the distribution of the gospel. So he's going to say something here. It's very powerful in verse 16. He says, a little while. He goes, you shall not see me. And then again, in a little while, you'll still see me, because I go to my Father. And his disciples going, what is he saying? A little while. What's he talking about? Could you imagine? They're in the upper room. He's trying to give them mysteries, and they still don't understand what he's talking about. They're asking, and he goes, you're inquiring yourself one another what I'm talking about in a little while. But what he really said, I already said this once, and you missed it. You missed what I said in the first part of this conversation. And he's coming back to the little while he was referring to. And if you understand what he said in the first little while, you'll understand what he's about to say. Because he's reverberating something before he gets into the answered prayer of heaven. What the design asking, verse 19, he says, do you inquire among yourself what I'm saying in a little while? You'll not see me in a little while. You shall see me. He says, verily, you're going to weep and lament right now because I got to go away. But I'm coming back. You're going to see me. And then he says, like a woman, she's in travail having sorrow because her hour's come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish. We're not going to remember any more of the pains of the birth, for the new day is coming. Praise God. Now, notice what he's bringing in the imagery of birthing here. Prayer is about birthing something. And he says, and now therefore you have sorrow, verse 22, but I'll see you again. Now, you're not going to know what he's going to say. And then what he's going to do, right after that, next verse, what's he introduced? In that day. What day? That day. In that day, you're going to ask me nothing. When that day comes, when you see me again, then you can ask the Father. You're going to get in that answered prayer. I'm not going to get into that part yet. I'm going to go back to that day. He says this again in verse 26. After he talks about prayer, and he's going to give some awesome things about answered prayer there. And then again, he says, at that day, you'll ask in my name. He goes, hitherto you've asked nothing in my name, because it hadn't been time to ask in my name, because it hadn't been laid up yet, but it's about to be laid up. And at that day, you're going to ask. Now, let's go back to that day. Where's that day at? John 14. Yet a little while. He said at that day. And then wait a minute. What's verse 26? At that day. He's talking about that day. So if he's talking about that day in John 16, we better know what that day was that he's referring to in John 14, because he said something about that day, and we just got that day prophesied to us. And then we got God talking about queens, box trucks, and 18-wheelers. Amen. So listen to verse 90. In a little while, the world is not going to see me anymore, but you're going to see me. Because I live, you shall live also. You're not going to be looking at me anymore with those eyes. I'm going to teach you how to see me with a different set of eyes. You're going to get born again. You're going to be able to see the kingdom, and then you're going to see me, and you're going to see an invisible realm, which is going to be made visible to you at that day. You're going to see me. The world can't see me because they don't know me. You're going to have to abide in me to see me. But you're going to see me as clearly as you see me now. But I'm going to be far more glorious because I'm going to the Father now. Now, at that day, here's Mark's prophecy. You shall know intimately. That word know is gnosko. You shall know that I am in my Father. What was he asking them to believe? The union. and that you are in me, and I am in you. You're not just going to know it, you're going to gnosko. He said, you shall know, gnosko know, that I'm in my Father. I'm going to show you something you've never had with God before. That I dwell in my Father in an intimate love and an intimate glory where He is. And my Father dwells with me in an intimate love and an intimate glory where I am. And now we're going to bring you into what we have together. We're going to bring you into it there, and we're going to bring you into it here. We're going to give you the capacity to know that place of glory in the Father, and I'm going to introduce you to the Father. I'm going to show you plainly the Father, and you will go, no. At that day, not only are you going to see me, you're going to get introduced to the union, you're going to get introduced to the love, you're going to get introduced to the intimacy, you're going to get introduced to fellowship, you're going to know the heart of the Father, you're going to know the heart of the kingdom, you're going to know my heart, and then we'll start talking about answered prayer. Because when you get acquainted with me, I'll change a few things about you. When you get acquainted with me, I'll change a few things about you. Not that I'm not going to give you anything. We're going to give you everything. But we're going to make sure priorities and motives and all these other things are right. We're going to set you ablaze with the kingdom of God. We're going to set you ablaze with the love of the Father. We're going to set you ablaze with the power of God. And then we're going to start talking about kingdom transaction. I'm going to show you how to transact with my Father the way I transact. So let's go to that day now. That's John 16. In that day. That's what the little while he was talking about. And he's going to really introduce them to the union in John 17. But you've heard that before and you understand. And it's already been prophesied today. So I want to talk about this prayer thing, because this prayer thing is really active right now. Seven Spirits of God is in overshadowing mode right now. He has come down and he is brooding. I'm telling you, I feel the brooding. I feel it dropping in. Everything's about to explode. But it's coming out of this realm. And if you get this realm and understand this realm, you're going to be able to transact great things with God. You're going to learn how to take an empty 18-wheeler and come out full. Amen. It'll be that one first. Going up. Union. Love. Rest. Intimacy. Total oneness. Amen. He says, well, you'll see me again. Verse 22 in John 16. What did he say? In that day, you'll see me again, right? In John 14, he says, you'll see me again. He's reverberating what he said. So he already talked about this union. He already talked about this oneness. Now watch what he says in verse 23. Super powerful here. You gotta let yourself move into this dimension. People have a hard time moving over into this dimension. Sometimes we can receive from God one area, but we don't know how to receive from Him in another area. Write down, God wants answered prayer. You would pray a whole lot more if God started answering your prayer, and you'd be a whole lot more excited, because He says He would make your joy full by answering your prayer. God, no, He wants that. He wants an open heaven of answered prayer. I want to be an open heaven of answered prayer. Meaning, if you can't get answered prayer in your heavens, you can come over in our open heaven and suddenly God starts answering. Because we open heaven, praise God. That's what open heaven is. You get around the open heaven, things happen. You could be in the vicinity of Jesus, things will happen. That woman grabs His garment. See, he told Nathaniel, you'll see the angels of heaven descend with me. I have an open heaven. So that's why the things happen around me. Okay, verse 23. In that day, he said, you shall ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, watch this, he will give it to you. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Now understand something. What did he say in John 14? He said in John 14, what did he say? Ask and I will what? Do it. I will do it for you, right? Ask and I'll do it. But what's he say here? Ask and the Father will give it to you. The Father, if you want to write something down, only transacts through and in the name of Jesus. He will not transact with you outside of Jesus. He transacts with the inheritance that Christ laid up for you, but He is the one that authorizes the release of that inheritance laid up in the heavenly places. He authorizes the release from that realm to you. In other words, He shifts it into you. He says, yep, give it to them. They're abiding in you. They come in the name. They're in my love. They know me. Yep, give it to them. But it hadn't manifested yet because the Lord's the one that's going to do it, but God's going to give it. And if you understand this, you're going to understand a lot, because where is God giving it from? Third heaven, you are face to face. When you pray, believe that you receive, then what? You shall have. So the Father is the one by faith that's going to cause and authorize the transaction. The Father says yes from the name. It's not just the name. Father, I ask in the name. I'm asking for what's in the name. But it's a pretty big realm up there. The more revelation you have of what's up there, the more capacity you have to bring here. Amen? If you don't have a revelation of what's up there, you're going to have a very hard time receiving from that realm. He blesses you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. My God shall supply all of your needs according to riches in glory. God wants this transaction taking place with His church. Amen? It's part of the fullness that comes. Praise God. Now look what He says, verse 24. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive. See, that is a part of a promise. You can bring up to heaven and you can say, Father, I will receive. You said I would receive. You said I would ask. He says, these things I've spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when you shall no more speak you in Proverbs, but what? I'll show you plainly. See this? I'm going to openly reveal my Father to you. Answered prayer is about openly having the Father revealed to you openly. In the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Before that, he says, when you pray, enter in, shut the door, pray to your Father in that place. See, you're moving into a place to pray from. You're going to know the one you're praying to, and you're going to know what's in the name you're praying into. Is once the Father gives the transference, you're well on your way. But it's not finished yet. Because you have received a transference that has to be brought out from that realm into this realm. In verse 26, he really reiterates it. At that day, you shall what? Ask in my name. So again, he's saying again. So he says, my Father's going to transact with you through my name. Not only in my name, you have authority to pray the Father, but what's in my name? Say, what's in the name? He said, I'll set my king on the holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. Ask of me the nations for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Is he the king of glory? Is he the one set on the holy hill of Zion? Psalms 2 said as he was. Acts confirms it. So he received the nation and the uttermost parts of the earth. So are the nations in his name? Then the uttermost parts of the earth are in his name? He ascended on high. He received a kingdom, a glory, and a dominion, an everlasting dominion. All of that's there. I mean, listen, when you start transacting with the Father, you can transact smallly or you can transact greatly according to your faith, according to what you can see that's there. According to what you can handle. Now listen, when you're transacting in this realm, you have to understand how the Father's giving this to you. He's going to cause a release from riches and glory to you. I remember, in fact, Cody reminded me this morning. We were praying over something, and he said, you know, you actually got that. And what was that date? So February 18th, 2020. I got it. I got what I was praying for. It's mine. Where is it? It's still mine. It's still here, but I got it. It was a transference. I got it in the form of a knowing. Sometimes you'll get it in the form of a knowing. Sometimes you'll get it in the form of an assurance. Sometimes you're up there and you don't know yet because you ain't got it yet. But when you get it, you'll be like them little Holy Ghost Pentecostal rollers. I got it. I got it. You know you have it. You have to know that you know that you know you have got it, because then it's yours. It's moved out of from that realm into your realm. All right? And sometimes it comes with a vision, with a dream, with a rhema word revelation attached to the knowing. Sometimes it comes, now watch this, by the flow of the Father's creative thought for your future. It comes with the answer to that thing. You have to understand, when the Father's transacting, it's just not just a knowing. It's filled with images. It's filled with words. It comes with a rhema word, sometimes a dream. You got a dream. It's like, man, God is given. Or that dream is God's. It's His invitation. Come up here and transact with me. Come up here. Come up here. This is what I got for you. And you get up there, but you'll have it. And when He gives it to you, you have the dream. You have the revelation. You have that rhema word, or you have that creative flow of the creative thoughts that are filling up what God gave you. So understand, when God gives you something, it's still in the realm of the Spirit. Very important. You want to write that down. When the Father gives you something, it's still spiritual. It's still in the realm of the Spirit, but it's coming with words, dreams, revelations, rhema words. It's coming with the flow of creative thoughts, living creative thoughts of your future that come from the Father. Sometimes it comes by encounter. Sometimes you might be in the stage where God has extended the invitation, but you haven't transacted to the level, it's mine. How many of you have that where you know it's mine? Raise your hand. You got something and you know it's mine. I got it. But it hadn't manifested yet. But the Father has given it. That's important. You have to get to the place where you know the Father has given it. You got to know that. If you're still wishy-washy, then you haven't actually received the transference. You've received the invitation to come up. You see, you're not ready yet. God has not authorized the transaction, because once God transacts, He's authorized that transaction. Listen to me, I'm telling you a mystery today. When He authorizes that transaction, you're wearing it. It's in you. You've got it. I mean, it comes with such faith that you think you're going to step right down in the earth and just come on right now. Man, when I wrote that out on February 18th, I remember I wrote it down. I said, man, it's going to happen today. God is going to do this today. Why? Because I just came out of the realm of faith. I came out of the realm of finished work. I came out of the realm of done. I came out of the realm of D-O-N-E, done. See, God doesn't deal with anything going to, maybe. He deals with done. When God comes with done, I've heard the angels beat the drums called done. I heard them 3 weeks ago. They were beating the drums called done, 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 done. That's all that God ever transaction is done, because everything there is done. Remember, when God's doing something up there, it's done. He doesn't transact in maybe. He does not do that. His will is set. He has a set will there that's completed. The issue is not there. It's here. And it's also what's upside you. Now understand something. When you get this legal transaction and it happens to you, and I can only tell you what it's like, what's coming, what's with it, but once you have it, and you know you have it, it's a confidence, assurance. It's an imagery. Man, He'll open the whole thing up for you. It's yours. Now you get to step back down in here. And man, when you first come out, man, I'm ready. It's happening. Because you came out of the realm of faith. Guess what? That word is about to get tried here. And people don't understand that part. Just because they got it there, it's about to get tried here. Guess who's coming? When you talk about the enemy coming for the word, if you think he was coming for your word going up, or you think he's coming from your word sitting up in a church, wait till you get something from the riches and glory he has no access to. But the Father's done give it to you. And He knows the Father gave it to you. You don't think He wants that? He's the greatest thief ever. And what He wants more than anything, He goes, I got everything else. I want what's up inside you. And if you're transacting in the realm of glory, He wants that transaction. And He's going to try it. And all of a sudden, when you think everything's about ready to blow out and start happening here, warfare, storms, everything, like, what happened? I was in glory. I wrote it down. I got it. I received it. It was mine. I wrote it down. Look, I wrote it down. God said, you did. The thief coming. He's coming for that word now, that real one. He's coming for the transaction. You know what he wants? He wants your dominion. Because he can't get it. God put it up above him. But he, boy, when you carry it down, you better be prepared. You better understand what to do with it here. What you were doing with it there. When you understand what to do with it here, and the process of getting it here, and what to do with it in the earth, you're on your way to answer prayer. I, by revelation right now, soon by experiential revelation, we will be able to decrease this time frame that you have received that word and see the manifestation of what's inside you. Now, when you legitimately have a transaction from God, you're going to walk around a little pregnant. You're going to walk around full. You're going to walk around sometime groaning. You will walk around with something inside you. Would you please get this out of me? You thought it was gnawing on you going up. Wait till you actually get it from the Father. Sometime it'll be heavy. You'll have to stay with God so He can carry it, because it'll bury you. It gets so heavy. You have to stay close to Him and constantly put it back in His hands. Like, God, I can't carry this right now. And you got to keep it back in His hands. But when you have it, there's some things you can do with it here. Number one thing you're going to do with it, protect it. When you receive it, you have a responsibility now to release what's inside of you into the earth. You received it by faith, you're going to release it by faith. The Lord's going to do it. You can't do it. Don't try to do it. Don't even put your hand on it. You'll be a loser. Can't be touching the ark once it's up inside you. Amen? But there are things you can do. You decree. You release by spoken word. That word, that transference comes with a boatload of imagery, whether you know it or not. It's coming. And as you start walking out, you have to start seeing it is done, saying it's done, walking out is done. Go on and walk out. We call that perambulation. You got to get on out there with it. You got to start walking out into that promise. Finish. Done. I see that you have given. I see that you have given, and I release this into the earth. I loose this into the earth. I see it, and you say what you see, and you speak, and you decree what you see, speak, decree, say. This is what the heirs do. You have to go and release it, and then you walk out. The higher forms of it, you walk on out into the realm of perambulation. I just want to say this part. Just go over to Matthew 6 and 10. Matthew 6 and 10. I never understood this part until now. But remember what he said. He said, when you pray, enter in to the secret place, shut the door. Pray the presence of the Father. We know that part. He goes, don't use vain repetition. And okay, wait a minute. You're telling me to speak that thing. And I know I'm speaking things almost every day, same thing. You're telling me don't use vain repetition. He goes, read it again. I did. He goes, read it again. Because he says in verse 7, 8, don't use vain repetition as the heathen do. They think they will be heard by their much speaking. He goes, we're not talking about being heard here. You already were heard when you went up. You were already given. You have to release what you've been given by much speaking. You don't receive by much speaking. You release by much speaking. See the difference? Now, Lord's Prayer. Let me share this part. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where are you praying at? I'm not saying thy kingdom come to heaven. Remember I said you're walking up and down? You're going to have to take what you receive and go stand down in the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On the earth as it is in heaven. Watch this word, what come means. Thy kingdom come. Or kameah. To come from one place to another. See, now you are in an intercessory mode. What you receive, this must transfer from here to there. Thy kingdom transfer, jurisdictional transfer from this realm to that realm.
Thy will be done. Genomeia is the word. Genomeo means to come into existence. Your will be done. Your will come into existence now. It's got to move from spiritual to natural. It has to move from kingdom to earth. Heaven to earth. It has to be seen, shown, demonstrated. It has to come into manifestation. Thy kingdom, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. See the word I in? In earth, in heaven, see that? Those are two different ends. You know what I-N means in heaven? It's E-N. It means a fixed position. This thing's coming out of a fixed position. You know what the end means to come into the earth? Epi. E-P-I. Thy will be done in the earth. Thy will come into existence. E-P-I. We need an E-P-I moment. In the earth. You know what that EPI means? It means superimposition of time, place, and space to impose. You know what a superimposition is? It means to take something and cover it over. They do it in video all the time. I'm going to change. I'm going to impose. I'm going to superimposition, superimpose another image. I don't like the image here. I'm putting another image down. Thy will be superimposed from a fixed position into the earth. Superimpose your will in the earth. You don't like what you're looking at? Go get something else to look at from the Father and superimpose it into the earth. Release the superimposition into the earth. Superimpose the Father's will. God will impose His will in the earth. And man can't stop it. There is a superimposition of the Father's will. It comes with creative thoughts. Hey, this don't look like what I've been seeing up there. God's given me another day. He's given me another image. He's given me something to look at down here. And this is not lining up with what I'm looking at in the Father, because I got a new day. So I'm going to go ahead and speak this new day here. I'm going to release this new day. I'm going to walk up into this new day here. I'm going to walk all up into this territory, all up into it, and nothing is looking like it was. Everything's looking like it is, because I'm bringing eternity, and I'm going to superimpose the kingdom of God from a fixed position into the earth. That's what you have as answered prayer. It's going to take some faith. It's going to take a little bit of gumption for the unction to function. It's going to take the Word. It's going to take the Father's imagery, because you're superimposing. The Father's will is not just some flat line will. It's full color and imagery. He's going to fill you up with a new day. And you've got to superimpose that new day down here. And that's what God's doing. And that's how He's going to finish this thing. And when you get on with it, superimposing His will down here in the earth, then things will start happening. Don't even think about it, devil. I'm not even here for you to try my word. I am imposing the Father's will into your realm. I'm not going to come down and get this big explosion here and then act like I'm all beat up down here. I'm not going to have victory there. I've been doing that a long time. Come down here and get beat up. No, I'm not coming down here to get beat up. I'm coming here to superimpose the Father's will down here. I'm coming as a lion. I've got dominion on me. I have authority on me. I have glory on me. And we're going to impose the kingdom of God. That's going to take some faith. Some action. When you get on with it, you can change what's going on down here. But don't just walk up here and start changing something. Having a meeting, we're going to have some dominion. You're going to get that dominion up there. You're going to get that from the Father. You're going to get all that creativity from Him. You're going to get the new day. And if the enemy's warring on you, go back up to the Father. Say, refresh me again. Say it to me again. Show it to me again. Fill me up with again. Grant me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Fill me up with some more dominion. Now, let's go superimpose your will back down here. If things have not lined up down here, superimpose the kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus. You can say to the mountain, I do not speak to my mountains until I have come out from the Father. I have learned. I go to the Father first. I get love first. I get held like a little baby first. I get nurtured. I go from 5 years old to 50 years old. And then I come back with some dominion. And then I'll speak to the mountain because I got a lion on the inside of me. And I'm here to superimpose the kingdom of God into the earth. The king has done stretched that scepter out. I got an 18-wheeler here to unload. And you will not stop it. Let's give him glory. Hallelujah.
A lot of the New Testament was written in Aramaic. And so this is a direct translation. And it lines up with everything that LaRue was just talking about. And it changed my prayer life. But it didn't just change the prayers. It changed the answers. One of the things that radically changed is, one of the things he told me is that you've died and it's now Christ in you. And so faith is just believing that Christ is in you. That's it. Because it's all in him. He's in me. I'm in him. The Father answers every prayer of Christ. So this is John 16:23-24, directly from the Aramaic. Okay, verse 23. All things that you ask straightly, directly from inside my name. Exactly what it was talking about. From it, and everything that that name is. From inside him. From inside that name. This is actually what it, the original, it was written in Aramaic. This is what it said. You will be given. So far, you have not done this correctly. Verse 24. Ask without hidden motive and be by your answer completely surrounded. What does that mean? To think the very same thoughts. Yes. Hebrews, faith is the substance of things. The original word there is not hope. The original word is things imagined. Substance is what you imagine. It's the imagery of the Father you're now surrounding yourself with. If you're completely surrounded with your answer, where did you get that answer? In him. So now, faith is a substance of those things. You're now taking that which you've seen, and in your imagination, you're completely surrounding your life with it. If you are completely surrounded with the answer, then it is a shield that the enemy can't come into. So think the same thoughts, same imagery. Enveloped. This is the actual word now. By what you desire, that your joy may be full. See, it's not waiting till the answered prayer till it manifests for our joy to be full. According to the Aramaic, if you are completely enveloped by that which you desire, you're delighting yourself in the Father. He's given you the desires of God because they're His desires now. If you are completely enveloped, then your joy will be full. You will have the joy, even though you haven't seen it manifested, because that's not the realm you're looking at. You're completely surrounded by that realm.